Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your wonderful, beautiful, gross, and awful, and probably shouldn't be designed video games and turn them into the next AAA titles. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I'm your other host, AJ Hart.
AJ, it's bright and early in the morning. You and I don't record this early. But, you know, you and I both got work. We got jobs. We got shit to do. And we both were really lazy yesterday.
We were both really, really lazy on our normal recording day, so we are now recording it on Monday, the first working day of the new year, yeah, baby.
Dude, 2021. Hopefully bright things are in our future. AJ, you got any New Year's resolutions going on? Like, what is your what's your gamer resolution?
Oh, a gamer resolution?
I don't want to know about real resolutions. Come on. What do you got?
Yeah, that's true. Real resolutions, they're like the same things every year, right? It's like, oh, I want to be more worked out. Oh, I want to have more connections with my friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be rich by the end of the
year,
right?
That's like vanilla. That's vanilla. Tell me your gamer's resolution.
What if I finished a Soulsborne game this year?
What if you finished a Soulsborne game? How many Soulsborne games have you started and not completed?
All of them.
Really? Like,
yeah, hey, dude, I dislike the Soulsborne games, and it is not from a lack of trying.
See, you playing the Soulsborne game is very familiar, is very similar to, like, how I look at candy corn. Is like, man, that looks fun. I'm going to try it. And then you just stop it. But you forget, but you tend to forget, like, that you hated them. Because, like, I remember, I totally remember this now. Every time I would come over to your house and just lounge about and just chill, you would be in the middle of playing a Soulsborne game. Like, I remember watching you play some Bloodborne for a while and the original Dark Souls, but then you just stopped.
Yeah. I recently picked up Demon's Souls just a little bit, and I got, like, I started playing through it, and I did manage beating the first boss, but nice. During the slog of getting to the first boss, I remember having this moment where I was like, I kept on dying, and I knew I couldn't start upgrading my character until after I beat the boss, and I just hit this point with it where I was like, oh yeah, this sucks, huh? And I know that these games work for everybody but me, but I definitely hit that point. I died, I started at the bottom of the staircase, I looked up the staircase, and I thought to myself,
oh yeah, this is the
gameplay those dudes
loop.
Right there are still there, aren't they? Damn it.
And Demon, they didn't change anything, right, other than the graphics. It's still like OG hard as fuck Demon's Souls, right?
Yeah, Demon's Souls has a fun gimmick where it's worse than the other ones that I've played, specifically because there's this mechanic where, you know how when you die in the Soulsborne games and then you enter stink mode, where your character looks all gross and stinky?
Yeah, they look like a dried raisin, yeah.
In Demon's Souls, when you're stinky, the way that you'll play most of the game, there's this fun little itty-bitty teeny-tiny game mechanic where you have half of your health.
Oh, so like I mean, that's kind of cool, actually.
Oh, no, it's not.
They're trying to draw me in.
Because that means that 90% of the game, 90% of the game, you don't have access to half of your health bar. Dog, it is like you are cursed in Dark Souls 1's curse mechanic. Uh-huh. You have that anytime you are not human, which is 90% of the game.
But that sounds kind of fun because it makes the game a lot more challenging and like you're in it. Like, the idea of, I mean, like, just get good at dodging, bro.
You get hit one time and you're in crisis mode. Your heart is racing.
But
you're
that's the
thinking
rush,
to yourself,
man.
Oh, God, please, no, God, please, no, 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 please, no, please, no, God, please, no. And then someone does it to you, and then you die, and you're back to the bottom of the staircase, and you think to yourself, I almost got to the second room in the run!
I mean, but that's the
I
rush,
finished
though.
The boss,
like,
though.
I
did get to the boss. I did cheese the boss by throwing a bunch of bombs at it. But I did get there. And I finished the boss by throwing a bunch of bombs at it and cheesing it. And thought to myself, riveting gameplay throwing a bunch of bombs at this thing.
You know, I'm trying to think back and, like, is there any bosses that I didn't have to cheese? I've only played, like, one Dark Souls game. And it was really fun. Like, I did enjoy it. But I'm trying to think of, like, was there any boss in Dark Souls 3 that I didn't have to cheese? And I remember being really ashamed of it at first, of like, man, Because, like, Dark Souls is, like, one of those games I look at as, like, a badge of honor as a gamer. It's like, you took on something that was really fucking challenging, and you're trying to do it, and you're, like, it's a game that a lot of people talk about, and if you could fight your way through it. And I was like, I took that overly seriously. I was just like, I'm going to beat this game. I'm going to go through it, and I'm gonna get good. I'm going to become good at a game, finally. That's my New Year's resolution, by the way. Just get good at games, finally.
Okay, yeah. What hunting grounds are you gonna start in? You gonna start in Fortnite? You gonna start in Spellbreak? You gonna, like, where are you thinking about where you want to be good at video games?
Where I want to cut my teeth on it?
Yeah, where what, like, thing do you want to be like, I'm good at video games because of blank?
I really want to get good at, like, permadeath games. Like, The Hunt Showdown, I think, is the place that's a game I've been playing a lot. And dude, you need to install it. It's such a fun game. But, like, if I can get good at, like, a game where, like, loss is a real... for those that don't know Hunt Showdown, it's, like, a late 1800s, like, Lovecraftian battle royale game where it's, like, you play the role of a hunter, you are in a bayou, and you have to follow these clues and investigate to find where, like, the demon's at. But the thing is... And kill the demon, and then you collect its gold, and then you get to leave, and then you... get some bonuses. The crazy cool thing about it is there are other pairs of hunters in the same area hunting the same monster, and if you kill the demon before anybody, everybody knows where you are on the map and can come kill you and take, like, the gold and other things. The cool thing, like, about it is if you die, you lose everything you were carrying on you permanently. And if I can get good at a game like that, that's some shit to brag about. Be like, yeah.
Would you like the good news or the bad news?
I didn't know this was a good news, bad news situation.
Yeah, I'm listening to your New Year's gamer resolution, and I've discovered good news and bad news about it. Which would you like first?
Is the bad news that I'm not going to get good at it because I've been playing this
game
for a year?
No, Blake, I would never take the wind out of your sails like that. You know I'm a hype man. You know I'm going to just build you up. I'm going to tell you about how good you are. Uh-huh. So would you like the good news and the bad news? And which would first?
Give me the bad news and then butter me up with some good news.
Well, the bad news is that, as evidenced by the fact that on our game podcast, you had to explain what video game you were talking about, being able to say I'm good at The Hunt Showdown comes with very little gamer cred. I'm sorry, it's just too niche of a market. The good news is, if you are good at The Hunt Showdown, it will be true. It's just that everyone will think you're lying about it.
Wait, how? Like, because nobody knows.
Because
about
no
it?
One knows what The Hunt Showdown is, right? Like, if
it's
I sat down and I was like,
Crisis,
oh, see, I'm really... Like, No, because if I was like, oh, see, I'm really, really, really super good at fighting games because I've never lost in Jump Kick, like, you and me would be like, oh, hell yeah, AJ's like the best fighting game player in the world.
No. You don't get to quote an obscure as fuck game at me. Call me out for naming. How many people in the audience know what the fuck Jump Kick is, AJ?
Let's ask. Like, hey, Let's ask the audience. Can I get a hell yeah if you know what Jump Kick is? No one in our live audience said anything, Blake. So my evidence stands. You have to be good at a mainstream game. I want to hear you try it one more time. You're going to be very, very good at video games this year. What video game? It needs to be like mainline. I want you to say like, oh, I want to be diamond in League of Legends. I want a triple prestige in Call of Duty. You got to give me a buzzword game.
I want to get S rank in Catherine. That's what I want to do. Because I don't know if
does
you
Catherine
knew this?
Count as a buzzword game?
I think it does because there's actually a competition circuit for that game now. I don't know if you knew that, but there are like races for Catherine. And
brother, there's competitions for Jump Kick.
Here's the thing. I think Catherine is more of a buzzword than Jump Kick because Catherine has gotten an update like 8 years after it came out.
Okay. I'll give it to you.
With a completely new storyline, and they fixed things. And it's also, I don't know, it's a good, it has the lead character from Persona in it, like, as a guest player. What's his name? Bandit? Not Bandit.
yeah, Bandit Persona 5.
Bandit,
you're right.
Persona
Do you
5.
Want to start
what
our
this?
Video game podcast? I think we've said enough today.
I want to get good at games. Immediately gets a well-known game wrong. That's part of the appeal. That's what you can always expect on this podcast. Just a couple of people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about regularly. AJ, you got a video game idea?
Do I got a video game idea for us today? Let me check the comedy minds today.
The comedy minds.
I got a submission here from Caleb All Day All Bay Martin at Isithius. WrestleVania. Transylvanian tap out.
Holy fuck. So you're telling me like... Wait, hold on. Is
what?
This... So it's Transylvanian. Is that implying that all the wrestlers are vampires? Or is it also like everybody who's like vampire adjacent? So you have like Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy. Like, I'm trying to figure... Is it like... Did Dracula invite his... Oh my God, AJ, you know what they fucking call them?
Yes, I know exactly where you're going. Yes.
This is the Monster Mash. This is Monster Mash 2K21.
This is Monster Mash 2K21. Yes, Dracula came out and he said, "All right, everybody, I am going to have a giant fighting tournament, blah, blah, blah.
And it takes place in all
come
of the
come on,
wings
all you spooky monsters, and we will be the ones that bump in the night.
It's just
I will bump on you, and you will bump on me. And we will bump all night long, blah, blah, blah." That wasn't like... supposed to sound as horny as it did, but...
This is just like...
I am Dracula.
Just cue up control Marvin Gaye's, like, all night long. Like, all night... Like, it's just like fucking Wolfman suplexing Frankenstein in the background.
Wolfman.
This is...
We've got Dracula. We've got the Mummy.
So just like classic
we've
Universal
got
monsters,
the Invisible
right?
Man. And the Invisible Man will really be really funny because it will be Invisible Man, except he's wearing like gloves and elbow pads and a little like little shorts and knee pads and boots.
That's just the Invisible Girl from My Hero Academia, where she's just like always has gloves like on posing.
Yeah, except the Invisible Man will also have sunglasses on, so you know where his head is.
Fucking sweet. Awesome. Oh, he has to have a headband on too. Like he's
oh yeah.
Okay, no, you're actually onto something here. So Dracula is like, "Hey, I want to prove who the biggest fighter is. Come to my mansion on top of a mountain." And each of the stages are just different wings in that are part of the mansion. So like there's the courtyard that you have and there's interactables, right? Like I think it's in the newest Mortal Kombat or Infamous, like you can actually grab things from the environment and throw them at your opponent and shit like that. There has to be stuff like that. So like fighting on the rooftop, guess what? You could throw gargoyles at each other. Or you're fighting in the courtyard,
you could
throw somebody into the fountain that's like has a bunch of piranhas in it or something. So
what game company do we want to use as like our baseline for how we build out this game? Do we want it to feel like a Mortal Kombat game? You know, there's Mortal Kombat, the Superman Mortal Kombat games, like those.
Infamous.
Do we want to feel it to feel a little bit more like a Tekken game with like really, really precise hitboxes? Do we want to have it play a little bit more like an anime fighter? Maybe we get that guilty Arc Systems. That's
like
the company.
Like BlazBlue kind of vibe.
Like BlazBlue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, here's the thing about them though. I feel like the BlazBlues, the Tekken, they don't have enough particle effects. How do you put particle effects on Dracula?
Okay, first of all, BlazBlue definitely has way too many particle effects. It's an anime fighter, and if
well,
there's
no, no,
one
what
thing
I'm,
that
no,
those
no,
games
I'm say-
have, it's particle effects up the asshole.
Well, what I'm saying is because they have particle effects, like how it are I don't what on Frankenstein actually Frankenstein would have particle effects because he's just he's made of electricity.
It's just flesh and blood.
Oh no, he also has like the electric bolts in his set. Oh dude, we should have like all of the people from each of their universes too, because you have like the son of Dracula, you have Frankenstein's the Frankenstein's bride who has the sweet fucking hair with the
we can work out the roster later. I'm just trying to find out which fighting game backbone are we using.
Is it possible
I want to lean into a Tekken backbone, because I feel like there isn't enough Tekken backbone fighters out there. We've seen particle effect anime fighters before. We've seen Arc Systems do their great work on all of their anime fighters. We've seen a million Mortal Kombat games. I want to go to a really hyper-specific hitbox-based fighting system like Tekken. Or we can try Killer Instinct for all of our Killer Instinct fans out there.
Let me pitch you on something, because I feel like this is taking place in Transylvania, and like the icon is like just that's standing out to me is this castle. So why don't you do a thing where we were talking about, like, it takes place in different wings. Why don't you do it like a diamond, not a diamond is unbreakable. What's that JoJo's fighting game where it's like limited open world, but you also have a tag team system.
You want to do an arena brawler, a la the Naruto fighting games, yeah, a la the JoJo fighting game, a la the Final Fantasy brawling fighting game. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, because you can also, I feel like the thing that I think could make this stand out is how you utilize the arena. Like, Dracula is a supernatural being, and I've never read any of the books or whatever, but I am imagining his castle has some magic shit to it. Well, I've looked at Curse of Strahd, which is basically, you know, Dracula. His castle's fucking magic, dude. Like hallways can change on you. Like, what an arena brawler would be like, and I don't know, and forgive me, I have not played a lot of fighters. Are there any arena brawlers that out there where the arena is constantly changing around you and making, like, combat more difficult, or you have
I have incredible news for you, Blake.
What's
no,
that?
No, almost every arena brawler that exists is a shitty made cash grab game.
Are they, so, like, incredibly easy to make in a way?
Probably, like, is that why... they probably just make those assets and then just, like, kind of play puzzle, like, play a little marionette with them. Like, I don't imagine them being particularly difficult to make.
Oh,
I
they mean, just, there's a reason they make why, the like, ass, there's they make a the assets new, for the first like, game and then reuse them all the time.
Yeah, that's what it kind of feels like. Like, if you've sat down and played, like, all the Naruto brawlers, they all feel super identical to each other. But
is
something that they never do. The biggest problem with those arena brawlers is, you're right, they're just big open brawl rooms, right? Mm-hmm, there's never any level design. There's never any, like, ooh, but what if it did this? And so what you want to do is you want to take an arena brawler, and then you want to say, but what if you were fighting in Dracula's castle and there was impossible geometry in the Dracula castle that you were fighting in,
like,
for this little arena brawler?
Like, non-Euclidean spaces, and, like, yeah, it's a weird balance, because I can very easily see that becoming, like, it's a game about fun. Because I remember when you and I were playing Naruto, the arena brawler, half of the game was just me trying to find you. Like, it was just big and kind of dumb, and, like, the whole point of playing a fighting game is, like, it's just instant action, instant, like, feedback of, like, I throw a punch, it's gonna get a reaction, I don't have to wait. There's no dead time, there's no waiting. How do you do that in arena brawler? And I'm now that I'm thinking about it, I'm wondering if that's even possible. With it,
it
you need
is. Here's what this game will play like. It will play. It plays like an action game, like an actual real life action beat 'em up action game.
That's this nondescriptive is going to, as fuck.
Well, like it's gonna feel like I guess the thing that I'm immediately going to say, oh, it would be a little bit like this, is there's this game that Platinum Studios made called Anarchy Reigns, where every character feels like their own character action main character. There was
even a
re-release that used Bayonetta as a DLC character.
Oh my gosh.
But then you put them into a big room and a big, like, brawling space. I believe that most of that game was objective-based, so you would run around the map and get to different objectives.
Oh,
but it played
okay.
like a video game-ass video game. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, try to take Overwatch, but instead of it being a first-person shooter, it's a third-person action beat-em-up.
Okay, but are you saying there's also, like, objectives that you can claim in the level? Be like, hey, if you come... Oh, that would be interesting, because, like, each fighter gets a ping on their, like, UI or whatever saying, like, hey, whoever claims this spot in the next 30 seconds gets, like, a unique item or a power-up or something. So it's like you are fighting for control. Like, the fights aren't, because the fights are over control points, I guess. So, like, you guys, there's, like, a little fight, then you need to do some platforming or running to get to the next objective. You guys fight there, and whoever wins that bout gets an item for the next fight that you have to run to a new location.
Yes, and
fight
it would be, like, King of the Hill type objectives, right?
Yeah,
but then there'd be, like,
smaller
objectives where it's like, oh, get the Pope to the water fountain. And if you can bring the Pope to the water fountain...
Why is the
without
Pope the Monster Mash 2K21?
To make holy water, dude, because if you can get the holy water, that's going to be a special weapon you can use on your other players.
Okay.
The Pope getting to the water fountain would be one of those secondary small side piece objectives that you could try to do to get an edge on your competitor.
Okay, interesting. I also think you could do a thing of whoever goes to, like, you can also do a thing of, like, blood fountain. Because I'm imagining it's Dracula. He's going to have, like, a fountain in his courtyard that's, like, nothing but blood, right? If whoever gets control of that.
That's the kind of extra bitch he is. He can't do anything kind of chill. He's like, oh, I have a water. Check chaotic. It out, guys. I have a water fountain. Oh, that's cool, Dracula. It shoots blood the whole time. Why? I don't know. It also has RGB, but it's usually just R because it's all red blood.
God, you know what would be actually really fucking cool? What if we did, because you're talking about, like, just angsty as fuck Dracula. What was that one game? I think, was it Perfect Dark? Where, like, it's a, you can do the campaign, but do it as a co-op. But it was done in a unique way where it's, like, player one is the actual main character. And player two plays all of the mini-bosses you fight along the way through the campaign. What if you did a fighting game where it's like,
That's wild. That sounds cool.
It's really cool. It's a really cool, I believe it's Perfect Dark. Which is like, it's like 1996 or 1997, dude. Like, that's really fucking cool for that time. But what I'm thinking is like, what if you and I were to boot up this fighting game, but instead of, like, you're player one, I'm player two. Instead of you just having to fight an AI every time a new fight is, how would that work if, like, you and I were the characters fighting? So we're discovering this story together.
I'm sorry, did you just invent versus mode? In any brawler game?
No, but as a campaign, and I'm trying to figure out, like, you can go through a story together, but are the fighters in the story? Not, like, just a free-to-play, like, versus mode.
You're saying I sit down and I say, I want to play arcade mode, but every time it loads up a new enemy, I have to fight you, Blake Rhea, and then I kick your ass, and then you move. What you're looking for is the little brother system.
Yeah, like, do a little brother system. I'm trying to figure out, like, is there a way we can build off of that, because going back to the idea, just, I think it would be super fun, like, say we're at the end of the game, and you and I are doing our, and, well, actually, here, this is how we make it a little bit more unique. Depending on who wins the fight affects the story. So it'll be like, hey, the first fight is you're playing Frankenstein, I'm playing Wolfman. You win, guess what? The story is now centered around Frankenstein. It's not like a pre-programmed fight, like, in, like, let's go use Injustice. You're, one person is supposed to win the fight. You, whatever character you're playing wins canonically in that story. But what if we build a fighting game where it is dictated by whoever wins becomes a major player in the story? So every time you play the game, it can become a completely new story.
Okay.
And then, like, at the end
of it,
it's,
well,
like,
now I'm obsessed with this and I don't give a shit about the gameplay. The idea of, like, a fighting game that, like, every arcade mode will change depending on who wins each brawl. Like, you have, like, a roadmap of, like, a million different possible endings because the wins and the losses for every character when you start the arcade run will change the plot. And we're looking at a video game that starts, we're creating the Shadow the Hedgehog plot line of a fighting game.
And here's the thing,
The Hedgehog games, right? Like, you have the one thing and you start off with, and depending on whether or not you do the good, evil, or medium, like, route, it changes out to the final ending, and that's why there's, like, 100 and some odd different endings of Shadow the Hedgehog.
And, you know,
the titular Shadow the Hedgehog video game starring everybody's favorite hedgehog, Shadow.
I hate that edgy.
You
want to
do that.
I hate that edgy boy. No, but you know
you
want to really
do
cool?
that, but in our fighting game. So we have our roster of 7 people. It's Wolfman, Dracula, Mummy, whatever, and whatever. But if I do the plot line of Wolfman starting arcade mode and beating everybody, would be a different plot line than of Wolfman beating Dracula but losing to the Mummy, and would be a different plot line from Wolfman beating the Mummy and losing to Dracula.
But see, here's the thing. Like, okay, this is how the game would be. Is like, you have the full roster at the beginning. It'll ask you, like, who do you want to approach this castle as? So you pick Frankenstein, I pick Wolfman. It gives you the Frankenstein cutscene, and then it gives me the Wolf cutscene. So, like, the opening cutscene changes depending on who your starter, like, who you chose to approach this castle as. But here's the thing, AJ. You and I will always have opposing agendas. So it'll be like, it's like that game Hidden Agenda. Like, you have your goal, I have my goal. So, and the goal is a little bit more obvious. Like, you want to get to the end and defeat Dracula in Monster Mash 2K21. I want to beat Dracula as Wolf. But the thing is, like, to keep the players engaged is, if you and I are playing, and let's be real, you would win because you're a much better fighting game player than I am. like, now, instead of me just being like, okay, my game's over, like, now I get to play all of the bosses that you have to fight along the way. And it just becomes, like, me trying to get revenge on you for cutting my game short. And I feel that would really make things kind of
competitive. And that is independent of the plot line that will go. So we start up the game. You and I fight each other right off the very beginning. Boom, boom, pow. Our characters go to blows. And that's going to decide who our actual main character for the story is.
Yes.
From then on, you, Blake Rhea, the loser, would then take on every character that I went up against, but I would be playing as Wolfman the whole way through.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing that we'll have to think about. What if you lose? So, like, say you win our first bout.
We've already established that the plot line would simply change.
Mm-hmm. So then now it's like, now I become the main character again. And now it's I'm going
you
back
add,
to...
Okay, you want to add separate entry points even for every plot line.
Yes. So, well, because what
Jesus,
I'm thinking is
you
like,
understand what you're creating is like the
gonna be hard
the writing, the work. I'm having a difficulty. I have to write a 500-page manifesto of just the initial concept of this. I'm still trying to keep up with your galaxy brain, multi-dimensional, multi-entry, multi-plot line, multi-differing roadmap. Fighting video game visual novel.
Do I have you now? Because I feel like when I pitched you, like, hey, let's play a fighting game where we're fighting each other. Oh, so you mean versus mode? Do I have you now?
I thought what you were pitching was little brother mode for a fighting game. And I was like, yeah. But what I didn't understand you were pitching was actually Writer Sweatshop fighting game with 1 billion possible different pathways.
AJ, how about this? So you and I will develop the game, but you know who's going to fucking write this game? Whoever the hell wrote Hades, because their amount of dialogue
The
amount
who's
of dialogue
going to write this game?
Uh-huh.
Because that game has so much writing in it because those developers spent their blood, sweat, and tears very politely and very effectively using their time. Uh-huh. What we're going to do...
We're going to rush this shit out the door.
We are going... No. We're not paying fucking anybody for this amount of writing because the price per word will be astronomical. I'm getting chills just thinking about that kind of money.
All right,
we're going to go where no game company has gone to for their writers yet, probably.
Where are you thinking?
We're going to AO3.
AO3?
Archive of our own.
What?
The fan fiction website.
The fan fiction? What do you mean? Like, we're going to the fan fiction website? Like, were we just going to take quotes from people's fan fiction that doesn't make any fucking sense? And just, like,
no.
copy-paste it
we're
in
going
there?
To take their entire-ass plot line. Not quotes. The whole thing. Every plot line. Because here's the thing. We understand. We have all the puzzle pieces. We understand all the characters that are part of this story. What we have to do then, Blake, is just Google search those characters in Archive of Our Own, pick a plot line that has those characters in it, and slap it into our video game.
All right, you're on to something, but I have to tell you, AJ. Well, I mean, I was about to say, like, you realize how saucy this game's going to be, but then I realized, oh, it's fucking Immortals. Like, Dracula's getting saucy all the time. So, like, I was about to say, like, that point makes no sense, but then I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, Dracula's always fucking. That's just kind of his thing. So there's going to be just
I'm always trying to get it.
AJ, quality control is abysmal, though.
Out the window. Yeah,
I'm
not super.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be some plot lines that are so good and some plot lines that are so bad. And the forums are going to be so incredible. It'll be shit like, oh, did you guys do the plot line where you have Wolfenstein? Or not Wolfenstein. You have the werewolf go ahead and beat the mummy, lose to Dracula. When the mummy comes back again, lose to him. You have to get a tie with Frankenstein. But then the Invisible Man's going to show up, and you need to make sure that you throw the match for that one. And then if you go ahead and Dracula's wife shows up, she's a bonus character, you have to beat that fight. And then there's a reskin of Dracula that comes in after that, and that's not Dracula. But if you win that one, that plot line for this character is so good. But if you did one of those steps wrong, the plot line completely shits the bed and is horrid.
Let me ask you something really quick. So we're building a game that is powered by fan fiction. What happens when fan fiction starts being written for our game based on fan fiction?
Then we get to make a sequel, baby!
Then we get to make a sequel! That was about to ask. It's like, what? How fucking cool would it be that people write fan fiction and then we either release that as DLC for the current game, be like, hey, we, quote, wrote a new storyline that you can discover. Like, turns out the Invisible Man and Wolfman got a saucy history to get to work through with their fists.
And you know why this works? Why this really works?
Why?
Because all these motherfuckers are public domain.
I feel like fan fiction is, like, there is some copyright because it's in a physical form, right? Like, that's the dev. That is. I think the definition of copyright
Is fan fiction protected by, like, intellectual property rights?
It is protected
by... Dracula isn't. We can all write about Dracula. I can... See, look, I'm bringing on... Oh, it's me, Dracula. You can use me on anything.
Yeah, he is more than 100 years old. I think, like, because of... this is going off of American laws.
Dracula is common license. Anybody can use Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I put a spin on it with my own fan fiction? Does that character become my own thing, right? RGB Blood Fountain Gamer Dracula that we've created here today.
Yeah, it's just Dracula with a K. It's a completely new entity now. All right, you ready for another game? We've been talking about this for like 20 minutes.
What if we just talked about this one idea for the whole episode?
This one fucking game?
Hear me out. You know what? It's a new year. We could try something different. I kind of want to sit down and hash out the gameplay of this because I feel like we understand the roadmap storyline of this game very much. We understand where that goes. I'm having a little bit of a hard time still with our gameplay. And I think part of that's because we kind of came at it from a couple different angles before we found the real intrigue of this video game.
As much as I would love to dick around with you on one game, I feel like the audience would be like, well, I put a lot of effort into doing a game submission this week that they didn't use. And I feel like they would be pretty betrayed at that point.
But what about all the audience members that are sitting there thinking, man, I just want to know how this one turns out?
I mean, okay, like, where, how, okay, meet me in the middle. Why don't we do some lightning round games just to, like, diversify, and we talk, like, people went through the effort of giving us some submissions. Because I have a strong feeling that, well, I don't know, maybe we might find a game that we're like, hey, this is way cooler than Monster Mash 2K21.
Yeah, let's do a couple lightning rounds and see if we find anything that's going to beat our horrible mess of a roadmap video game. You got a lightning round for me?
I do got a lightning round for you. One second, I'm waiting for Bentley to just stop fucking yelling. I was going to say barking, but then I realized he's a bird, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. All right, this one comes to us on Reddit from Too Many Bees. Racing game where the weight stat actually has a function. I want this. The game's going to be called Junk in the Trunk, AJ. This is about every every fucking car game I play is all about making them look sleek and fast and beautiful. I want to make a game where it's like you're in a junkyard and you have rust buckets that you're just trying to make fucking function, and it's all about smacking on as much weight as you can, because guess what, AJ, we're gonna make the first racing game that doesn't have, that has cars without any engines. This is all about downhill racing, AJ, so you gotta smack as much weight, you gotta smack as much weight on your car, and like the fatter it is, the rusty, the grosser it is, like it could be even two cars in one. You could have just put two cars together and got some cable and strapped them together, because like you have two cars.
Like, I have great news for you. I know exactly what this game looks like and plays like. It's a VR puzzle game. You mentioned the idea of it being called Junk in the Trunk. What it is you get a bunch of random assorted stuff. Maybe there's just a conveyor belt of junk that continues funneling towards you.
You have 30 seconds, and you just have to grab random shit. Oh my god.
You have to grab random things and pack it into the trunk of your car as effectively as possible. What we're creating is 3D Tetris. You continue to stack in stuff into the trunk of your car, and if you can fit it all compact and tight enough, then you're going to make it as heavy and dense as possible, and that will make your race go that much better.
Let me pitch you on something, because the idea of just doing putting shit in the trunk sounds kind of like, okay, that's I feel like that gets boring. So the
We're gonna have the downhill race part as well.
Stick with me. This is like that scene where what's her name? It's the girl from Wreck-It Ralph where she's building her car and it's just a fucking disaster where she's like doing
Vanellope.
Yeah, Penelope. Basically, you
I believe
have
it's Vanellope, as in vanilla.
That's right, Vanellope von Sweets. Basically, what you're going building off what you're saying is like the first phase is you of the conveyor belt. It's just a bunch of car parts, so you have to sporadically build your car, and that's random. You have like zero time to think about it, and you have to make sure like, okay, does this have enough storage space? Does this car actually have all four of its wheels on? Does this car have a windshield, or does this car have like a fin? Because that's what makes cars go faster, right? And then whatever you built that sporadically, now it becomes the Tetris game of like, okay, I have this car that has X amount of storage space. There's a bunch of shit, like boxes of books, screws and bolts, lifting weights. How do I put that in my car and still make it, like, drivable? So it's like a two-stage conveyor belt game. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. Two-stage conveyor belt game. I like this very much. And you're going to have some people that, like, their game hack is going to be like, oh, I'm just looking for the parts that I need, and then I'm going to put all the junk that I don't think I'm going to want for the building on the floor, and then I can pack those into the trunk later on. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I want there to be a third phase, which is the actual downhill race part.
It becomes
first person.
Where you get
into your car. Yeah, it becomes – well, it's all been first person. It's a VR game.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's first person from the car seat rather than you're standing above it looking down at like a toy.
Yeah, and then you're in the car and you're downhill racing and, you know, you're dodging things, you're jumping things, you're trying to beat your competitors. This game rules.
All right, real quick, what's the name of your car? My car's name's Baja Blaster.
Damn it. That's such a good one.
AJ, just real quick, just take a Mountain Dew flavor and add ER on the end of it. Mountain Dew code redder. It does. That one's not as cool.
No, that one's super cool.
Oh, what's that red, white, and blue one they did? Red, white, and
blue. Mine's Mountain Dew dieter.
Man, my formula just fell through. It only works on one.
No. We're gonna go on this now. Let me go ahead and pull up all the Mountain Dew flavors. We got Mountain Dew Blackouter. Mountain Dew Cherrier. Mountain Dew Goji Citra Strawberrier. Mountain Dew Berry Moonsinner. This bit works, Blake.
Hey, AJ, you know me. I just say things sometimes, and sometimes it works out.
Mountain
sometimes
Dew Voltager. Oh, wait, here's this one. Oh, Blake, your formula works so good. Mountain Dew Throwback Real Sugar-er. Such a good formula.
All right, well, let me tweak the formula a little bit. Just take a Mountain Dew flavor and just call that your car.
Ice.
Okay, that's a pretty good name. It seems a little edgy, but I think it works a little bit.
How do you feel about Mountain Dew Major Melon Sugar Rush?
It's a pretty good fucking name for a car. Because now think of the announcers having to say that. Be like, coming around the bend is Mountain Dew High Sugar Fructose Corn Syrup.
My car's name is Mountain Dew Game Fuel Berry Lime Slurpeezer.
All right, next game. Not all jokes will be gems.
This comes from Burdens Lifted Flying Free Like It's January in Your Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Gore, Not, Zombie Hide and Seek.
Okay.
VR.
So how are you the zombie trying to not get obliterated, or are you just hiding from zombie? Because I feel like the obvious thing to do would be that you are a living person hiding from undead, but that, I don't know. Like, I feel that's kind of like the easy way out. How can we do this?
No,
from the zombie's
I think
perspective?
You're right. It is a little bit of the easy way out, but I think that what this is the year that it is. You know what I mean? Things are the way that they are, and we wanted to say that they wouldn't, but it's going to be this way for a while, and we all need digital ways to hang out. Blake, when's the last time you got to play hide and seek with your homies?
It's been a while, and like, and I don't mean that as a like as a joke bit. Like, I don't mean this as a joke bit. I would absolutely love to play hide and seek as a grown ass man with all of my other grown ass friends.
Cause hide and seek rules. So here's what I'm pitching you: a VR space where we can play hide and seek again. Yes, it's gonna have the texture of like, ooh, here's the texture of one. The one that's it is gonna be a zombie, and That is still, that's actually super dope is the thing about it. It's actually super fucking cool to the idea of playing hide and go seek, but with a fun flavoring to it. I guess that's kind of what Prop Hunt is, but Prop Hunt gets obnoxious because like, oh, they're just like a little garbage can and they move so fast so you can't shoot them. No, it's hide and seek. If I found you, I found you. And that's the end of the game.
Are we going to lean into the zombie aesthetic where it's like infected from Halo, where if you find somebody, they become part of your team? Like a zombie infects another zombie and now it's just like a hide and go seek thing. Like the idea, like I think
that's
going
to come down to house rules as it does in real life, Blake.
I mean, it depends.
When you played hide and go seek with all of your siblings, did you do it zombie style or did you do it like when you were caught, you were quiet? I guess it depended on whether or not you were an older sibling or a younger sibling,
I think the way I want to do this is that, okay, so it's hide and seek, but, and you're, I feel there maybe should be some objectives that are going on, like, that the living players need to have, like a Project Winter, like the idea there is an imposter, because this is like an imposter game. This is like a la Among Us, but like slightly different. Should there be something that the players are doing that way they have to risk themselves? Do they have a way of defending the zombies? But like in a lot of other infected games, like the zombie will be stunned for like 5 seconds, but they're going to get back up and keep chasing. Like, is there a way that you can add a little bit of flavor to this?
I'm going to be honest here. I think this is one of those games where less is more. I want to just give them.
But what's the stank, AJ?
Hide and seek.
We gotta get the stank going.
You're right. You know, we do need stank.
This is a good question though. How do you put stank on hide and seek? I think hide and seek, and in my opinion, this is just my experience with hide and seek, already has a lot of stank on it. Because if you ever played hide and seek where everybody played it, like you're either in a place that's so big that searching it is just dumb. Or everybody's so good at hiding, you're just sitting there with, you know, just like a jackass trying to find everybody, and 20 minutes go by, and you just don't know what to do.
All right, let me give you this. Ready or not, the zombie survival game, taking place in Skyrim.
Okay.
Doesn't have fast travel.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's a pain in the ass. All right, let's go back to your VR game. Let's sit on that for a second. I want to pitch you on something. So I have the Oculus Quest 2. Facebook now owns my soul, I guess. That has cameras on it. So we're at this point where VR can actually, you can actually see through the VR headset. What I'm thinking is, what if you did an augmented reality VR hide and seek, where the person wearing the headset is a zombie, but maybe all of the players that are hiding have their phone and have like effects that they can do to affect the vision of the zombie. Guess what? Your vision's gone.
I'm gonna flashbang you every chance I get, dude.
And then, like, to really lean into the cool game that should be made, this is a fucking hazard, AJ. People are gonna be tripping. People are gonna be busting their heads open. We're gonna get so many lawsuits, but guess what? Just like the Oculus Quest 2 agreement, it has a bunch of invisible shit that you're agreeing to. Like, you can't sue us for tripping over Nana's little stool. That's your own fault.
And Nana's fault. She knows to pick up her shit.
So I'm thinking, so there's like the flashbangs, like you said, there's maybe it makes them think that there's a wall in front of them, or it cuts their vision out to where they can't see the person that they're like, maybe they did find somebody, but they can't see them. So if that character or that person is completely quiet, they're not going to show up in the vision of the player or something like that. So like it just adds a little bit of like, I don't know, just some flavor to hide and seek, and also they have to buy a $400 headset to play this game.
And that's really what we're after.
Yeah, this is about going to be a flagship thing for the Oculus Quest 2. All right, AJ, do you have another game?
Do I got another game? do I
or actually,
got
did, did you
game.
Did you pitch that
That's
game?
Your turn, actually. Yeah, you hit turn. Me.
All right, AJ, this one comes to us on Reddit from Squidpope, Dino Store Us. I was picturing the idea of, I don't know if you ever saw it, but back in, I think it closed up in 2009, there was a Toys R Us store that had a giant animatronic dinosaur there. I'm trying to figure out, can you Shopify that, or like gamify that experience of going in and looking at dinosaurs that are just like above you and you're trying to shop for them, but like maybe there's a risk hazard to it. So it's like you go, I'm trying to figure out, are you the seller? Are you trying to sell dinosaurs a la like, oh, actually, no, wait, there's something here. So Moonlighter, let's take the Moonlighter method. You actually have to go out and go catch some dinosaurs and you're trying to sell them.
Okay.
Did I lose you or is this game dumb?
No, I think you're onto something. So it's a game where you go out and you have to you capture dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
then once they're captured, you bring them to your store and you need to sell them. The problem mm-hmm. is, have you ever tried to sell a dinosaur? Let mm-hmm. me tell you, Stegosaurus, way easier to sell than a Velociraptor.
Slaps this. You slap the leg of a Stegosaurus. This baby has so much. And before you can finish their sentence, they just lop your head off with their tail.
Well, Stegosaurus are super nice, aren't they? Aren't they, like, the ones with the...
Stegosaurus are the ones with, like, the fucking mace of a tail, right?
But that's defensive. They're herbivores, so they're gonna be adopted much faster than a pack of Velociraptors, who are known for eating people.
Yeah.
Here's the other catch, though. Velociraptors? Way, 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 way easier to catch than a... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you just throw a net down and you catch a whole pack of them. Like you can get
I can't go 8 feet without catching a Velociraptor. Those little dudes are everywhere and they're so small and easy to wrestle.
I wonder, like, is this going to be like a Phasmophobia style situation where, like, as you play the game more, you unlock greater equipment to, like, handle different situations? It'll be like, so it's like an open world sort of thing. Is like it Pokemon style where there's just like a bunch of them, like, lounging about and just doing their own thing, and you can go in, you can choose to interact with which ones you want to, but you can visually see that some of them are way fucking stronger than you, and it's not going to help because, like, you start the game with a throw net, and maybe that's how you catch your first little, like, those, the, you know, like the in Jurassic Park 2, like those little dinosaurs that the girl walked up on. That are just like,
yeah.
You can hold them in your hand, that kind of size. That's what you're
buying. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, those are like the goldfish equivalent of in this universe. So, like, you catch those, you sell a couple of them, and then maybe you have to deal with, what is refunding a dinosaur look like, AJ? Hey, this dinosaur you sold me, ate my wife, and I'd like to return it.
You can give him in-store credit.
In store, we call them dino creds,
and that would, and like you know, you get that opportunity to return a dinosaur, and then I think at that point you have to have look at your dinosaur, and depending on how much in store credit you give back to the returning customer, that's going to increase or decrease your store cred, which is really important in a shop simulator.
Okay.
Here's what I'm obsessed with is now is the time to build a game where you have to go out, catch things, and then sell it. Because I think that right now we as gamers have catching fever.
Mm-hmm.
Monster mm-hmm. Hunter came out and that was a huge success. Bug Snacks came out. That was a pretty decent success. Right now is the time. If God, we want to do a game about catching monsters and selling mm-hmm. them back, it's this moment. God, Ark has a sequel, and I think that's about catching dinosaurs and making them your pets. I don't know anybody that ever played Ark, but hey, Ark 2, baby.
I played Ark once, like, and then I realized, oh, it's a survival game. I'm out.
This one ain't for me.
Yeah, you're right. There is a big surge of, like, catching games.
I wouldn't say big surge yet, but I think it's here. Like, I think that if you look forward, I'm saying that 3 years from now, I'm mm-hmm. saying that in 2022, there's going to be a game about catching monsters that will be a goatee contender. Not 2021, because I think that that's too soon, and we don't have anything, like, buzzing about it right now. Mm-hmm. 2022, 2023, a monster catching will be goatee.
Okay, so anything about catching things? So, like, is this has got to be a cutesy game, right? Is this going to be like a photo? Oh, this is like photorealistic. Like, if a person gets bit in half in your store, it's like watching Seven Samurai with the amount of blood that is spurting. It's like it is just horribly violent, is what you're getting at.
It can be. It depends on the dinosaur, right? Like, a T-Rex is going to be horribly violent. That's how they work.
Wait, AJ, I want to scar people. This is how you do it. So it's cutesy on the surface, like Moonlighter, or it looks like Nexomon, where everything's just like kind of cute and a little bit like cartoonish in design. But anytime a murder happens, it goes like full like 3D, like photorealistic 3D rendering for like, it's just a really brutal fucking cutscene, like music, cute, like, you know, like Walmart from the 90s sort of like store music just stops. It just goes into just really fucking intense gore. And then it just cuts back to it. Like nothing happens.
And you know what I love about this is like the beat-to-beat drama when somebody's playing, because I can see it already. They're playing their fun sprite-based little collect-a-thon game, and then they're in the middle of it. They're in the middle of sealing a transaction, and then the screen goes black, dips to black. Bloop. Mm. You, the player, go, oh, no. Oh, no. What is it loading? Oh, God. What is it loading? I know it's something, right? And, like, there will be some cutscenes that are super fun. So, like, in this moment of dark, deep panic, there's a moment of hope. Oh, perhaps I'm going to watch the cutscene wherein the Stegosaurus and the little girl, they give each other a little head pat, and a bond is created, and I know that I will be given the opportunity to really gouge the price of that Stegosaurus and bring in some fat money. Or I'm going to watch the cutscene where a dinosaur eats somebody.
You just don't know.
It's just the drama, the suspense, the rush. I think you're right on the money.
All right. That's a game. Let's go to our nug. I'm assuming it's Monster Mash 2K21, right?
I believe the title we had submitted was WrestleVania. But we can do WrestleVania 2K21.
I don't know. What do you think's better, WrestleVania or Monster Mash 2K21? Because I think Monster Mash has that like searchability to it. You know what I mean?
I want to go with WrestleVania.
All right, WrestleVania 2K21. That's it. All righty.
Here's kind of the big reason why I want to go with WrestleVania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with this giant V in the center of WrestleVania. And how that can just be like the belt that we're all wrestling and fighting and obsessed about.
I feel like when I do the
alternatively,
art,
perhaps the W at the beginning of WrestleMania is supposed to look like two fangs.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Well, here's the thing: if we decide to do the thing where the V is really big, people will be like, "Is this like?" Is this like 5 or something? Is this like WrestleMania 5? Like, why is the V so big? Like, I don't understand what's going. All right. So we figured out our basic thing of like, it's a game. It's like a living fighting game. So whoever like wins becomes the main character, and that's the story we follow. You have to earn your fucking cutscenes, AJ. So it'll be like you lost. Like
no cutscenes.
Like,
it's a visual novel because again, the amount of I can't deal with the asset creation of this. But it is sprites and it is text because we have at least 500 different routes that this thing can take.
No, I was thinking this is like a full 3D like fighting game. If it's sprites,
this is a visual.
That just makes
the fighting game. The fighting game is a fighting game is a fighting game is a fighting game. That's got 3D sprites. Uh-huh. That's got 3D animated models. That's there. I'm saying
again,
that when you
so
move
like the
on
Hades
to,
method, right? Where it's
and then
like
when
the,
you
all
move
the cutscenes
on
are the 2D
the,
peoples.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, the cutscenes are 2D drawn out sprites. The fighting game is our 3D modeled assets.
Okay. I can get behind that because, like, I feel like we got there's a lot of space to do bitchin' character designs on all of the monsters here.
Yeah, I mean, we've already done such great work with our Invisible Man.
You just like his character.
Werewolf,
by
the way. The werewolf is more of a poodle than a wolf, and he's got some really killer hair.
Fucking sweet. He just had, dude, a poomple, a poomple, a poodle wolf man with a pompadour, like just that, like a Josuke-esque pompadour made of like white fluff.
I think
sounds
every
so fucking
skin,
cool, actually.
Every skin for him is a different hairstyle. Pompadour, mohawk, the tall pillar like Polnareff from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. There's one with a blast back where he just has like this incredibly it's like pulled back, but it's just like one incredibly large like bun in the back.
Sweet. It's got a dog bone in it to keep it tied.
Yes.
Okay, what else do we feel we need to discuss? So is it like, do we need to figure out like the, because this, when I look at it, it's like a tournament, right? Like that's the basic story, is like everybody's here to partake in this tournament. I think what screams out to me is like everybody has a vendetta against Dracula, because I'm imagining Dracula is like, oh, I have this big castle and I'm so much better than everybody. He's like a pompous fuck. And maybe that's why, like, he's always in the background of every fight that's going on, like sitting on a chair, but like Curse of Strahd style, where he has like one leg up over the arm. And he's just like twirling his little glass of blood wine. And he's just commenting on the fight.
I love this idea of this like incredibly pious Dracula that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's pious in like really weird ways. Like, Frankenstein? Do you not have a blood fountain in your front yard?
Pious means religious, by the way.
Oh, well.
I believe that's what it means. Pious, devoutly religious. All right, so Dracula's devoutly religious. What does he worship? Himself.
Nah, it seems you have been brought to my castle by the grace of me.
Please, everybody, look at my grand painting. I hired a man 200 years ago. He's still lying under the painting. I drank his blood. But isn't this painting beautiful?
I drank his blood. He is like a raisin. He'll never go spoiled.
Just like this really fucking pompous, like, oh man, I love to hate you, and I'm gonna love to just kick your teeth in as Wolfman.
So what's Dracula's plot line then? Because he is a playable character. We've got Dracula, we've got Wolfman, Mummy.
No. Dracula is the final boss. Let's look at it this way. Once you beat the game, he becomes a playable character and you can go through the plot line. And it's like and we just do it the same way they did Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Like, it's like, because, you know, there's like two Jacks, but the whole thing is, it's like, it's just a stand-in for Jack. It's not actually Jack. It'll be like Dracula's like, I've made the clone of myself just because I wanted to look at myself and maybe kiss. And like, maybe the Dracula that is like, fighting in the next tournament's like, I just want to get the fuck out of here. I just want to like fight for my freedom and leave this place. But I think you should go the Alucard route, where he's like, my dad, Alucard is like the son of Dracula in the Castlevania series. Are they unique to the Castlevania series, or has Alucard existed in fiction before that?
I believe that the term Alucard has been used in other things because it is Dracula backwards. I've seen some things where like a character will be like, I'm definitely not Dracula. I'm just some guy named Alucard. And then it's like, hey, jerk. I'm undercover. It's backwards. It's definitely not me. And then it's just Dracula.
Okay. So we have Alucard, who's like, I hate my dad. I want to knock him down a little bit.
So we got Alucard, Frankenstein, Invisible Man, Mummy, Wolfman. We've got five characters. I think that's a decent enough roster.
You think so? I feel like you can do the Bride of Frankenstein. I feel that there is also the Creature from the Black Lagoon is another one.
Okay, that's a good one.
I feel like you can do some sort of undead skeleton character, like Charon maybe shows up.
Skeleton.
Yeah, like, you know, Charon shows up, he's like, I am so...
No,
like,
I think no. He's just called Skeleton.
He's just called Skeleton Man?
Yes. In one of the 500 plot lines we will have for him, you will discover his true name. But I don't know what plot line that would be.
I No. I have a great plot line. So Dracula kills a lot of people in a day, right? Like, because he's just constantly feasting.
Yeah. No. I'm saying one of the plot lines is in the routes of win, lose, win. Then you get to understand Skeleton Man's true name.
Well, no, I have a good plot line. I want to pitch you.
You don't get to control that. That's all done by Archive of Our Own. You wanted to have 15 billion different plot lines.
I see. You're right. You're talking.
We can only create the archetypes.
Fiction.
After that, it's none of our control.
We just pick a character and we'd be like, go and search fucking the fiction site. Oh my god. Okay. All right. So we have Skeleton Boy. Or just Skeleton. That's just a skeleton. That's just such a weird thing to look at. The Mummy, Frankenstein, Invisible Man, Skeleton. Just gonna be like, why? What is happening? And I think, you know, what you could do is like,
would it be even funnier if we put the word in front of it? So there was a skeleton.
A skeleton. Just like, that's the last character on the roster. And it's like,
or
oh,
perhaps
fuck,
it would be even funnier if we titled it This Skeleton.
This Skeleton. No, I think A Skeleton is pretty good. All right, AJ, real quick question before we go to before we wrap it up. Do you think this game would be played at Evo? Could you see this, a bunch of people taking this game wicked seriously in front of thousands of people at the Evolution tournament?
I'll say this much. I don't think it gets its main stage play, but I think that as soon as like the major competitors get off the main stage and they're done playing whatever dumb fucking fighting game we've seen up there for the last 4 years... When they're done with that, they come down into the crowds, and all the crowds are playing this game. All the crowds are playing WrestleMania.
On their Switch.
on their Switch, on their full computers that are set up nearby, on their big like secondary main stage that's just as big as the normal main stage, but it's not an official stage. This game is bigger than any game on the main stage. People show up to Evo to play the main four games, but they stay to play WrestleMania all night long.
That's what people are doing in their casino hotel rooms. You just play WrestleMania. Yep. That's how they unwind after a day of fighting games. They play our dumb fighting game.
I'm saying WrestleMania will be the shadow Evo. It will be the Evo that bumps in the night.
Oh fuck, you know what we should do? Like the moment of the launch party of this, or like after Evo, is like, hey, we're all gonna meet at in downtown Vegas, like old Vegas, and we're just gonna like swarm the patio area, and everybody's gonna be playing this game together. We're gonna do a flash group, but it's just to play this one game.
WrestleMania, the shadow fighting game that we all know and love, the thing that goes bump in the night.
That's a good tagline. WrestleMania 2K21, things that go bump in the night. The things that go bump in the night. Or should it just be bump in the night?
A secondary tagline? I think the tagline would be bump in the night.
Bump in the night. Oh man, that's a good one. Dude, this is a good one. I fucking love this.
I also love the idea of our character reveal trailers, because I think that every character can have a fun like reveal tagline. You know how Smash does the like Byleth cuts into battle or whatever?
Yeah.
We could do stuff like Wolfman takes it to the pound. And that's the only one I've got, but I'm
That's pretty good, AJ.
Mummy, the Mummy has it under wraps.
What is our like new player has joined? Like a new challenger approaches. A new monster cometh. Like what is our tagline there?
A new tale begins.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one,
and
actually.
Dracula's our fun voiceover character for all of this.
A new chapter begins. Oh, also, I'm looking at Boss Fight right now. I'm looking at boss fight right now, and there is a monster here that needs to be in this game, or at least is a skin for a skeleton. This one comes to us from Pedrick Skelly. It's just a skeleton with fur on it. Like every inch of this skeleton has fur on it, and it's very unsettling, and I don't like it.
A skeleton has unlockable skins. When you get to the end route of a skeleton, you unlock alternate skins, one skin for every other character. So there's one where the wolfman skin for a skeleton is all furry, the mummy skin for a skeleton is all wrapped up like a mummy, but it's toilet paper maybe. The skin for Dracula is just a skeleton normal, except it has fang teeth.
Oh my god.
And then for Frankenstein, it's green.
Oh, dude, you know what we forgot
green.
To talk about? You know what we forgot What's to talk that? About? Where the fuck is, like, the monster hunters in this? Like, because I feel like
they
would show
up. Oh, there
will
be one monster hunter character, for sure. Yeah, there's
Van Helsing
character.
Would show up. Yeah, or it could be that maybe that's the secret ending boss of, like, after you defeat Dracula, that's the character you have to, like, fight. It's like the boss
Like
how, after the boss.
It's the crazy hand of the game, right? Like, there's the hand and as Dracula, and then there's the crazy hand, which would be Van Helsing.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Blake, I think that's a game.
Dude, that's a fucking game. This is fun. This is a good game.
I love WrestleMania.
I do like WrestleMania. Let's go bump in the night. All right, everybody. We're going to go to patch notes.
Let's go to patch notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to patch notes. Today, we've got exciting news. As of 2 days ago, Blake and I did our first official contest with the Spiritual Successor Patreon supporters, and everybody came in and built in their own little Minecraft section for our one chunk challenge. Right now, we have the luxury of introducing our top three winners.
Before I announce the winners, I just want to say a huge thank you to Jupiter, Joe, and Ray, three of our previous guests who came in and did the judging for this contest. And it was super really kind of them. We know their schedules are like wicked busy, but they cut some time out for us. And just want to say a huge thank you. So our first place winner, actually, should we start from the like, we'll work our way up. We'll like, we'll build up. Like, is that how you want to do
this? Yeah, work our way up.
All right. So, in third place, winning a prototype Spiritual Successor t-shirt is Gazer. They built a really wonderful little, like, wizard tower using, like, nether rock and it's a very cool, like, hell-themed one. Awesome. Really liked it. The next person is Too Many Bees. They built a little sweet little cottage with like it just like all mossy rock and like the hay roof. It was really pleasant. It was really enjoyable.
That cottage was like the cutest thing in the world. I wanted to just like live in it. They used a different kind of like square for the roofing that was really charming. It was all yellow and orange. I liked it a lot.
That was a really adorable one. And in first place, let's do some drumming without clipping the mics. Me just clapping over and over again probably doesn't sound very good, but the first place winner is Counterpoint, who built like a, I don't know if you've ever seen these, AJ, but did you ever see like Dr. Seuss's like night art? He like made a bunch of like adult themed, like existential kind of almost existential horror kind of art. And
what?
One of them was this architecture.
I've never heard of this.
No, it's really fucking cool. There's like a little documentary on it on YouTube. I'll have to send it your way. But he built these like architecture paintings. There were like stairs to nowhere, kind of like non-Euclidean space, like a bunch of dead end sort of like stairs that lead to walls, doors that lead to nowhere kind of art. And Lucy ended up building one of those, and at the top of it told like had a book that told a whole story about like this building and like what it represents, and like they really leaned into the narrative of it, and it's really beautiful to look at. We're gonna have pictures of all of these on our Twitter if you want to come check them out. And the three of you, if you're listening to this episode right now, we're gonna be reaching out to you to get your addresses and send you a t-shirt.
Thank you all so much for your support, and thank you for coming out and having fun with us in that space. It was a lot of fun. I'm super glad that we got the opportunity to do it. With that being said, I think we're good to go ahead and close out this episode on that note.
Hell yeah. Strong first episode of 2021, man. I'm proud of us.
It is maybe the strongest episode we've ever made, if you just think about, like, just the general muscle and power. If you
just don't think about...
Oh. I'm not saying it's our best episode. I'm saying it's our strongest episode. The gains, the muscle, the power.
Okay.
As always, our intro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.